Blog Talk Radio.
Jungle. Yeah, man.
He don't know the right and do it wrong shall be spanked with many strides. When the heathen have come, your children step wise. Even though they make mention of them and those,
fire
them
will
never be friends.
Fire burn.
You know why? You know why? Yes. Them have the heart of a pagan. Your children have the heart of a lion. I know. People are moved with Satan. Righteous shod in the countenance of the Almighty One. Them have the heart of demons. Your children have the heart of a lion. I know. People are moved with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Poor people see hostility rising daily. Ignorant multiply brutality. We I see daddy run gone left mommy. We struggle the hard road with fight beginning. Our I see baby has been baby. Nothing that happen now do not seem to amaze way. We know that is the fulfillment of prophecy. Our I see them no build school is church and penny. Church to church, the penitentiary never empty. Still playing a mental trick on me. Listen, you check you and me check me. And let's bring more love in the black community. Them are the heart of a pagan. Your children are the heart of a lion. I know. Evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Them are the heart of demons. The children of the heart of a lion. I know. Evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Respect the father of the prophet Moses and Abraham. You have to respect the father of Jacob and Solomon. Respect the creator of many nations. He made the birds, he made the beasts, the fishes of the ocean. And fastened them to gander with his mighty. And he made the man, he made woman, children, the future of the land. So who is you to disrespect the creator, man? 72 nations bow down and crown him conquering one. It would be beautiful in the sight of God, the Holy One, to see the unification of my nation. Them have the heart of a pagan.
Watch that.
Your children have the heart of a lion. I know. Evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the country.
Shalom, family. Shabbat shalom at that. We're doing it a new time and a new date. Welcome back to Hebrew Point of View. I'm your brother, Ari Al. Been away for a good while. Good while, at least 6 months. It had to be like 6 months since we last did a Hebrew Point of View show. In fact, we actually changed the name from a Hebrew Point of View to Hebrew Culture, because that was the thought in the direction that the creator, Abba Yah, was giving me to bring back the culture of his people, you know, which is Torah. You know, I got a very special opening show tonight with my brother, Brother Mattiah, Migration of the Hebrews, you know, because that's what the show is about. It's about the Hebrews and about special people, a special people to the Most High, not because they have done anything worthy of being special, because he has chosen them to be special. That's why we're special, because he has chosen us. He has put his name upon us. He has put his spirit upon us. So that what makes us special. That what makes us set apart. As we indulge in his Sabbath tonight, we are being set apart for 24 hours. We are setting apart ourselves for his holy Sabbath. And if those in the world want to take part in the blessing, they take hold to a Sabbath. So it's a blessing just within that. I want to open up with a prayer. Always opening up with a prayer and giving honor and thanks to the Most High. So, Yah, Abba Yah, I want to ask that your spirit lay upon those who are listening. Spirit lay upon those who are teaching thy word, Father. That your spirit just put rest in their hearts, Father, for 24 hours, Father, as we indulge in your time, Father. 24 hours, Father. Show us what it's going to be like. Show us what it's going to be like in the kingdom, Father, where total peace, Father. No competition, Father. No meddling, Father. Nobody getting us upset. Nobody trying to go to the left or to the right, but just total peace, Father, and your holy Shabbat day, Father, the one that we look forward to, Father. Father, for we know this is the rehearsal, Father, for that great and awesome day when Yahushua will come back and set up the kingdom, Father. Thank you, Father, in your holy and precious name. Amen. Well, family, I got my brother Mataya on the line, and we're going to get right into it. Today is only an introduction. It's just the introduction to what we're going to be talking about and how the brother Mataya is going to be showing us how our people migrated through Africa and throughout the world, matter of fact, not just Africa. We have been scattered throughout these four corners of the world. Scripture proves that. Tells us that, and Scripture proves that. That we, Israel, has been scattered through the four winds of the earth. That means everywhere in the earth there is an Israelite. Why? Because that's how Abba set it up. He set it up so, as he talks about in the book of Matthew or in the four Gospels, talks about a sower went out to sow seeds. That's what we are. We are seeds of the Father. So he spread his seeds throughout his world. Throughout his world. So at the right time, we will blossom. We will start to grow. And when we start to grow and blossom, we wouldn't look like no other flower, no other seed on the face of the planet. We'll be different at his time. Shalom, Aki.
Shalom, Aki. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you well. Shabbat shalom at that.
Shabbat shalom, Aki. Good Sabbath to you, brother.
Yes, it is. We've been talking about this show for, what, at least a year now. At least a year. I was putting Brother Mataya on the path of showing where his people have been migrating, showing where he has spread his people, where he took his seed and just as a sower, throw it across the world. That brother been on the path. So, without further ado, my brother, introduce yourself to the family.
Shalom, family. Shalom. This is Brother Mataya. You know, just a humble student of the Almighty's Word, and you know, and the history of our people, and you know, and politics, and you know, our social conditions. Just being aware, and just you know, we
Amen.
Just try to tie everything in.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So how did you get started with this, Aki? I mean, what was turning inside you? We know it was the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, but what made you stick to it?
Well, I mean, it's a day-to-day reality that we can't escape. So, you know, we're seeking answers. And for us here in the West, you know, a lot of our history has been taken from us.
Yes.
You know, we don't have a straight line going all the way back to understand our history. So it forces us to do the research, do the legwork, and dig, you know, and you know, just try to bring clarity, because a lot of our people feel that to understand our identity as being an Israelite is only based off of understanding curses, which applies to us. However, we still have a historical record of migrations and prophecy that ties in, and we don't just solely have to rely on trying to identify who we are based off of the Deuteronomic curses. So you know, so with that, you know, I've been studying and just doing research, you know, and the information is out there. So, you know, it goes hand in hand with what prophecy says that would happen to our people.
Amen. Amen. You know, as we was talking and as the thought came across my mind tonight, by the time you finish bringing out the information, you're going to debunk that 12-5 chart. That's going to be thrown in the trash by the time you bring out what the Most High gave you.
Right. Well, the 12 tribe shot, I mean, we could throw that in the trash now. You know what I'm saying? The 12 tribe shot, it's based off of faulty interpretation of the word. You know, it's not really based in any historical accuracy, you know, and it really just makes the name of being a Hebrew look foolish and unlearned when you're trying to push that as truth to people.
Amen.
You know, and anybody with a little understanding of the words will understand that that's false. So, you know, that's not even,
Amen.
You know, a simple thing that will show that that's an error. You could read Isaiah 11 mm-hmm. alone will show you that the chart is not accurate because it gives exact locations of where some of our people have been scattered. And those places aren't on the chart, you know.
Amen.
And not to mention, groups of us were taken, and they didn't isolate us and just bring some of us to Haiti and some of us to America. We was all the same people being scattered all throughout the island. So it's no way that individual tribes would stay in their tribe
in those
places.
Right.
It's just not accurate at all.
That's right. And if I remember a little bit about history, that if we could communicate with one another, if we were from the same tribe from what they call Africa, they were separated. They wouldn't even allow us to be two brothers from Reuben and stay in Reuben together. They were separated because we couldn't communicate.
Exactly.
So, you know, asking brothers about that, you unlearned. Okay, bro. You can't go too far with that one, because that's common sense right there. But I'm looking forward to this right here, because this is definitely going to show where our people went at, how we got there, and how it was prophesied.
Amen.
You said you was talking earlier that you wanted to bring another element into it, too, about how we were scattered, and also how it shows that it does not point to the Europeans.
No. Right. And right. So I feel as we go through the study, we should at the same time as we're going through the study, show who the world is basically accepting as the Yahudim or the children of Israel. Show how they not only don't fit any prophecy, you can't find historical records of Israelites migrating to that part of the world, which, you know, that part of Europe where they come from. You know, I've been looking, you know what I'm saying? I ask them, I say, you know, what kind of documents or research or books do you have showing a large, because they were in Eastern Europe by the millions. It wasn't just a few of them.
Right.
So where in history do you have any documentation of millions and millions of Israelites migrating to Poland, Russia, Ukraine? You know, I can't find it. So basically, as we going through showing where the Israelites actually went, at the same time, we can cast a light on that, because I feel that's imperative to understand, because most of the world believe that they're the chosen of Israel. And it's not
right.
It's not solely, okay, they believe they're the chosen of Israel. People have a subtle, and it's many Christians, and it's many people, even secular people, they have this thing where they placate, or they, how can I say it? They look to them, you know, and they look to them as a fulfillment of prophecy when it's not
right.
a deception.
Right.
And that can't be the state of Israel. And it can't be underestimated, the importance of that. I mean, I feel like outside of America, I mean, other than a few of us here in America that's constantly beating that drum, for the most part, the world accept that as fact. You know, they looking to Israel, the land of Israel, looking for prophecy to be fulfilled. When there's nothing prophetic, it's nothing prophetic about it.
No, not at all.
So yeah, I feel like, you know, as we bring out where our people went, bring out the history of these people simultaneously, and hold them up to one another, and you know, and see what's what.
That's right. Because if you stay close to prophecy, but prophecy also says that he's going to replace us with a barbaric nation. You know, and you guys want to have to ask the question, well, if these people were Israelites, then they should have been replaced at one point in their life. But they haven't. Like you saying, like you bringing out, for the last, 200 to 300 years, the world sees them as Israel and have always seen them as Israel.
Mm-hmm.
When they talk about sending help to Israel, they sending help to Israel when Israel is actually right in their midst. And they have a disdain. They can't stand the true Israel. They can't stand it.
Right.
But you know that's prophesied. You know that's prophesied. So we can't be upset with the Most High. We can't be upset with them, but we sure can let them know, because he said we shall return. And that's what we're doing.
Right.
We are returning to our rightful place. You know?
That's right.
And that's what we're going to bring out. Go
that's
ahead,
right.
Keith.
Yeah, so, you know, so as we start, we know that Israel was scattered for disobedience. That was the main reason why the Israelites, the Most High, made a covenant with Israel, and he said, you know, you obey what I tell you, you'll live in the land and you'll prosper. You disobey what I tell you, and the land will spit you out.
That's right.
Plain
and
simple.
Right.
That's what he told us. So we know for a fact that according to scripture and according to prophecy, and we can read in Deuteronomy. Mm-hmm. I want to start up reading Deuteronomy 30.
Okay.
I'm going to start at Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I'm starting here because we know Deuteronomy 28 is based off of the curses and the disobedience. The Most High said this is what will befall you if you disobey.
Right.
But listen to what he says in Deuteronomy 30 in regards to that. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1. He says, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you shall call them to mind among all the nations where Yahweh thy Elohim has driven thee." Now I'm going to stop right there. The first verse clearly says that they will recall these curses to mind, or what has befell them in the land of their captivity. That's very clear. So, according to prophecy, Israel is supposed to be in a land that's not theirs.
That's right.
That's clear. And we know for a fact that according to this, as I keep reading, this hasn't even been fulfilled yet. Because we know for a fact that what the Almighty is requiring of Israel, some work still has to be done.
Right.
And according to prophecy, the Messiah, when the Messiah comes, he's going to gather the children of Israel. Any gathering that has taken place thus far can't be prophetic.
That's right.
Because we know that it's the Messiah that gathers the children of Israel. It's the Almighty himself by his hand. Just like in Exodus. Just like in Exodus, the Almighty came in the person to deliver the children of Israel from captivity into the land.
So
verse 2, it says, "And you shall return unto Yahweh the Elohim, and shall obey his voice, according to all that I command thee this day, and thy children with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Verse 3. Then Yahweh thy Elohim will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations where Yahweh the Elohim has scattered you. So right there we have we have the clear understanding that the Almighty is telling Israel, when you're in the land of your captivity, when you call these things to mind and turn to
right,
me,
right,
then I'm going to gather you. That's what Israel is supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be turning back to the Almighty.
That's right.
While we're
that's
in the
right.
land of our captivity.
That's right.
So just based off of the simple understanding that whoever the children of Israel are, whoever they are, according to prophecy, they should be in a land that's not theirs at the current moment.
That's right. That's right.
You know what I mean? So we should understand that. So whoever they are, they shouldn't be in their own land.
That's
because
right.
The Almighty clearly said that. The Almighty clearly said that, so they had to turn back first. So as we look
right.
at that, let's turn our eyes to what the children of Israel, or the so-called children of Israel that established the state of Israel,
right,
people
right.
believe are the children of Israel,
mm-hmm.
believe that that's a fulfillment of prophecy. So you have a lot of, let's take the Christian world, for example. They might not realize
mm-hmm.
it, but when you look up the definition, most of them are Zionists. So you would call them Christian
right.
Zionists.
Right.
And the basic definition of a Christian Zionist is one that believes that the return of the Jews in 1948 was prophecy, was fulfilling biblical prophecy. So basically, they looking at that as saying, okay, we must support Israel. This is the Almighty's work. This is His hand. You know, He brought them back to the land. Now, wait.
Right.
According to what we just read. The Almighty says, before I would do that, you need to turn unto me first.
That's right.
With your whole heart and your whole soul. That's right.
That's right. I mean, that's right. Because what need for him to bring us back, and we still going to have our wicked ways. We're going to defile the land all over again.
Exactly.
But go ahead, Haki. You know?
Yeah. And it's
important. For us coming back into the land. You know, and we haven't changed our ways. We haven't took hold of His blessings. No. And not to go cut you off, Aki, to go back up in the first verse. Because, you know, most people, they just look at the curse. But He starts off with the blessings. You know, to remember the blessings of Yahweh. Don't just remember the curses. But we have to remember the blessings of Yahweh. Once we remember the blessings of Yahweh and what He has done for us and what He has continued to do for us, then our hearts and our minds can turn back towards Him.
Amen.
You know, we were talking about the other day, me, you, and the brothers, how we are genetically made better than other races. And there's no smack in our faces, it's just the truth. We are genetically made better. That is a blessing.
Amen.
How our sisters can have babies just like that.
Amen.
Remember the story about Pharaoh and the handmaids. What they say? Hey, I went there, but the Hebrew women, they deliver quick. So these are the blessings. That's why He put blessings first. He wants us to remember how good He was to us.
Amen.
You know, and we, me and the brother, our Harbor, we like to talk about how the story of Ruth and that one scene when he beat Kunta Kinte and changed his name to Toby. A lot of our brothers and sisters, Hebrews that is, they look down on that name Toby, not understanding where it comes from. Tobiah, I'm your good Israel. That one man represented Israel. I had to put y'all in that type of servitude so you can come to your mind and remember me while we're in our land of oppression, where
That's
we
right.
are now. And we look for everything else but looking back towards Abba Yah. We want to march up and down. We want to riot. We want to do everything but looking back to our good, Tobiah. He's El Good. But go ahead, Aki, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's real. Because the blessing also, I would add to that, the blessing of the Mashiach coming.
Yeah.
And how, according to Torah, according to the Torah and Deuteronomy, it's law. It's mandatory that when the Messiah come, or that prophet that Deuteronomy 18 spoke about, that we was to listen to him. So how can one be turned with their whole heart to the Almighty, keeping his Torah, and deny the Messiah at the same time?
That's
and
right.
And think that the Almighty established that.
That's right.
You know, and many people may not realize that in order to return to the state of Israel as a returning Jew, so to speak, quote unquote, or to make a live, you have to deny the Messiah.
Right.
That's a part of getting citizenship there as a Jew. You have to deny the Messiah. You can't go there saying, well, I'm a Messianic Jew, or I believe in the Messiah, and I want to return home. You can't do that. So how can we look at that and say that's something that the Almighty established?
Right. That's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So that alone, people should take a step back and say, well, wait a minute. And according to Scripture, the Almighty said, you know, that he's the one that will fight for Israel when Israel was obedient.
That's right. That's right.
You see what I'm saying? So wait a minute. So we know, let's say for a second, these are the people. We know that they're in disobedience. We know they're in disobedience.
Right.
So when they're fighting whoever they're fighting, their battles against whoever they may come against them, who's fighting for them? Is it the Almighty fighting for them? Because if you look at a lot of the Christian stations, when they, you know, whether they talk about the 1967 war or even 1948, they always say, well, the Almighty was fighting that battle for them. You know, they would say supernatural things was happening and that helped them, you know, defeat the Arabs, so to speak. But wait a minute, according to Scripture, the Most High ain't fighting for no wicked Israel.
No, he not.
So basically, how does that fit? It doesn't fit. Somebody else
That's
is fighting for them. It's another power over that. You know, it's not the Almighty doesn't have anything to do with that. That is no prophetic scripture validating that.
None
whatsoever.
None.
So when you bring it back to what the prophecy states that what happened to Israel for their disobedience, he would scatter them. And the Messiah said the same thing. The Messiah said the same thing would happen to them in the book of Luke. Now, what's interesting about Luke, I'm going to read Luke 21.
Okay.
Real quick, flip to that. Luke 21, verse 24. He's talking to them, and he's telling them that, you know, war is coming. Tribulation is coming. And at that time, the power over them was Rome. We know Rome is the fourth beast. Now, the interesting thing about this, we know that the fourth beast is Rome, but it took on many different changes, but it's still that fourth beast.
So today we look and
we don't see the imperial Rome of 2,000 years ago, but we still know that Rome is still a power that's ruling in the earth, which is going to be interesting about what the Messiah says. So Luke 21, verse 24, he says, let me start at verse 20, actually. He said, when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that desolation is near. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst depart out, and let them not come into the countries and enter. For these are the days of vengeance, for all things which are written may be fulfilled. It says, woe to them that are with child in those days and give suck, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath in the people, among the people. And they shall, verse 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now we know
Amen.
In verse 24, a couple things come out. He says that they're going to be led captive into all nations, and that Jerusalem will be in the hands of Gentiles, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Jerusalem will be in the hands of Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled.
That's
now,
right.
We know the time of the Gentiles is going to run all the way up until the Messiah coming. We know
that's
that.
Right.
That's clear. That's what Daniel prophesied, the great stone coming down, crushing the toes. That's the kingdom of the Messiah coming. So we know
that's right. That's it.
We know that the Gentiles are going to be in authority there until he comes. So my brother,
mm-hmm.
who is in authority of that area? As you know, is Israel in authority over there, or is it the Gentiles? Obviously, whoever
is the Gentiles parading as Israel. That's
exactly.
who's in authority over there. The Gentiles parading as Israel.
Exactly. We got to stick to the scripture, because when you try to look outside of the word, you're going to be deceived,
mm-hmm.
and that's what people are doing. The scripture is clear. The Messiah clearly said that Gentiles will be in control of Jerusalem. It ain't so many ways
that's
to
right.
break that scripture down. It's very plain. You know,
that's
it's
right.
very plain. There's not a lot of ways to look at that. So and then he starts and says that they would be led captive into all nations. Now, what's interesting about that, you leading that up to our captivity here in America, what's interesting
mm-hmm.
about that, we know that it was Rome that scattered them then. Like, he's speaking to them 2,000 years ago. They still in the land of Israel. And we know
yeah,
that Rome
yeah.
came against them and sold them off into slavery into the known world at that time. Now, what's interesting,
right.
when the slave trade started in more recent times, around 400 years ago,
mm-hmm.
it was Rome again who sanctioned the slave trade. It was Pope. It
That's
was Pope
right.
Nicholas VI. Pope Nicholas
That's
V
right.
gave the Portuguese the authority to begin the transatlantic slave trade and basically
mm.
enslave anybody that wasn't Catholic. So what's deep about that is that it was Rome then when the Messiah was on earth, and it was Rome
Amen.
Again
mm.
who continued to scatter the people, enslaving them all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Rome. It was Rome then, and it was Rome now. Or, you know,
That's
400
right.
years of bringing us into this captivity. So it's showing you that
mm-hmm.
it's the same exact power. It's the same exact
That's
power
right.
the whole time. Still
That's
enslaving
right.
the children of Israel. So when we connect that, the picture becomes clearer. So when you're looking at where our people went, according to prophecy, we know now when the next time we come forward is when I want to start getting into quote-unquote scholarship. I want to get into scholarship and deal with all of the quotes from various scholars, historians, that clearly state where the children of Israel went up until the time of their writing. You know, so you have fellow Israelites who are writing. You have
mm-hmm.
European writers. You have Arab writers, Muslim writers that talk about where Ben Israel went. You know, now what's interesting, a lot of our people assume that we went into Africa after 70 AD, and that's how we ended up in Southwest Africa, North Africa, East Africa. But a lot of our people actually began to come into Africa before that period of time. Back at the time of the Assyrian captivity, at the time of the Babylonian captivity, you had a lot of Israelites already in Africa that people a lot of times we forget about that. Like when you read James, let me get real quick, real fast, the book of James chapter 1. Now we know James,
mm-hmm.
this is the time of the Messiah, but listen to what he says. He just
mm-hmm.
James, a servant of Elohim and the master Yahshua HaMashiach, to the 12
mm-hmm.
tribes which are scattered abroad. Now, he's saying that the 12 tribes are scattered then. This is before Rome came down on them. And he's saying all 12 tribes. Now, we know that in the quote-unquote Jewish community, they like to say the 10 tribes are lost. And that implies that they are Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. Now, they might not go around, you know, shouting that from the rooftop, but that's basically what they're saying. So when you ask them, you know, that's the belief. That's the belief that the quote-unquote Jews are the tribe of Judah. So when they finding, going around finding these other tribes, they always, one thing that's interesting, whether it's, whether they're in India finding tribes, whether they're in Africa finding tribes, they never find a tribe of Judah or Benjamin or Levi. Right. They always find a Simeon. They find in Dan. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it, you can tell that they obviously, before they made it public, they came to these people and said, all right, look, we're gonna accept you as one of the returning tribes, but you're going to be one of these 10 tribes.
And they
do that because they know that Judah is the authority. They know that Judah is the head. So they know that to have that position of having the world looking at you like you are the authority, you are the king tribe and the priestly tribe and the priestly tribe.
That's right.
They wield a lot of power by doing that. People think it's subtle. But they wield a lot of power by doing that. But we know, according to Scripture, all the 12 tribes were scattered. Even at the time of James, before they were further scattered, when Rome came down on them and dispersed everybody. So we're going to see when I bring out all of the different quotes and sources that we had our people living in Africa even before 70 A.D.,
Amen.
You know, some of our people was in Africa so long that they, not only do they have all of the customs, they practice in all of the customs, but they a lot of them may not even realize who they are, but they kept the practices going. You know, they kept they circumcision going. They kept the holy days going. They kept the Shabbat going. And this is embedded in their culture, but they've been there so long, you know, that's a long time. You know, you have some of the Igbo elders, which is a tribe in Nigeria, who speak of a lot of them migrating to West Africa at the time of the Babylonian captivity. Because you do, if you read scripture does say that all of the tribes didn't go to Babylon. Right. Some fled and went to Egypt. Some fled and went to Egypt, and everybody didn't go to Babylon.
Right.
You had some. Had some dispersed. Right. So all of this is going to be important, and I feel like it's important for people to know this because, for one, it's your history, and for two, it's a lot of deceptions that's happening.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? People are being deceived at such a high level in regard to this subject.
And
I feel like in order to bring clarity, we need to keep talking about it.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? We need to keep talking about it because amongst the Hebrew Israelite community, they have formed what we call our angry cousins. It's like they make these set doctrines, and they don't really focus on the bigger picture in a lot of instances. You know, we know that the Messiah, all things point to the Messiah. You know, whether you are a Hebrew or a Gentile, we know that the end result is everything should go to the Messiah. Everything, we should look to the Messiah for everything.
That's right.
You know, and
a
lot of times we get caught up in the whole identity movement, so to speak, of coming to the knowledge of being Hebrew. That's only a part of it. That's only a part of it. Because we know that without the Mashiach, being an Israelite, it don't hold no weight at all, according to the scripture.
No, That's right.
According to,
that's
you
right.
know what I'm saying? According
you,
to the scripture, the ones
a
that
Gentile.
Are. What you say?
I said you looked at it as a Gentile as in the eyes of Yah, in the eyes of the Heavenly Father, you only accept the Son. You can call yourself what you want. But what you want to do is have his Son within you. That what makes
that's
you
right.
an Israelite. Because
that's
if not,
right,
you're just a Gentile with a Hebrew name.
That's
all
that's
you
right.
is. No ifs, ands,
right.
and buts about it. And we make no excuses for you. We're going to tell you the truth.
That's right. That's right. Because those people who teach that, they teach another doctrine, another Yahshua. Because
right.
really, people,
right.
if you really deal with our people, just to take a sidebar, if you really deal with our people, the majority of people come into the knowledge that they're Hebrews. The majority of the time, they dealing with nationality and bloodline.
Right.
They not.
Right.
You know, you rarely hear them preaching the Messiah, you know, remission
right.
of sins in his name,
right.
baptism
mm-hmm.
in his name,
mm-hmm.
forgiveness of sins. You know what I'm saying? Receiving
right.
the Holy Spirit. They don't talk. There's no talk of the Holy Spirit whatsoever.
No.
You know, it's become this. It's become this. This. It's become something else. You know, I look at looking at the historical aspect only to prove scripture, bring forth whatever the truth of the scripture is, whether we Jew or Gentile, it's about whatever
mm-hmm.
the truth is. But we know that,
that's
like
right.
I was saying, the end result should always point to the Messiah. We know that Israel
yeah.
was only raised up in the first place because of the Messiah.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so if the Messiah... So if the Messiah is not...
No, I just said to do a work, actually.
Indeed. So if the Messiah isn't at the head of what we are dealing with, then it's for nothing.
Right. That's right.
You know?
That's
right. So we know according to Scripture that Israel would be scattered through the four corners of the earth. I'm going to read Isaiah. I'm going to go to Isaiah 11.
Okay.
Now, Isaiah 11 is one of them passages that's so wonderful because it covers so much. It starts off at the first verse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's talking about that branch. I'm going to read it. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "And there shall come forth a rod and a stem out of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Now, we know who that's talking about. We know that the seed of Jesse,
is
the Messiah.
Right.
We know that.
That's,
and in verse 2, it says,
right.
"And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom, understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of Yahweh. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, reprove
Amen.
With equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And his righteousness shall be a girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child will play at the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice den, and shall and no hurt shall destroy in my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh, as the waters cover the sea." Now here we go. It says, verse 10, it says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand as a sign for the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." Verse 11, "And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. Now, in this verse, Pathros is really would be modern day Sudan. When you look at where Pathros is, that's basically the Sudan. That's the region below Egypt, above Ethiopia. But what's interesting about that, like when you look at a modern map, in biblical times, it wasn't how they just the in the colonial period how they carved up Africa and created these different countries. In biblical times, they didn't exist. You know, so it wasn't no Sudan, it wasn't no South Africa, it wasn't no Zambia, it wasn't all of these countries. So when you look at these territories that they're speaking of, they was way larger. It was way larger territory. So when you look at Pathros and when you look at Cush, when people think of Cush or they translate it some as Ethiopia, modern day Ethiopia and biblical Ethiopia is two different things. Two different things. So basically, you had Egypt, you had Libya, and you had Cush. Cush covered almost the majority of Africa as far as the territory.
Right.
So they considered Cush almost all the lands to the south and to the west was considered Cush.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the rivers running through it. And then it says in the islands of the sea. I look at the scripture where it talk about in the islands of the sea. We know for a fact, we can look at all of the different islands. I even looked it up one day to see how many islands it is. It's actually a lot of islands. But the major island, when you look at the people that inhabit the islands, according to this, it would be Israelites in the islands. And we know from prophecy that they would be scattered to the island. They wouldn't be indigenous to the island. You know, and it wouldn't just be them migrating to the island. The Most High scattered them to the island.
That's right.
So when we look at the islands today, who is in the islands that's not indigenous to the island that was scattered to the island?
Our people.
Absolutely our people.
Our people.
Right in the word. It's clear that they're in the islands. So
that's right.
Verse 12, he says, "And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall gather the outcasts of Israel, and shall gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth."
Amen.
Now, this is another scripture. Clearly, the Yahudim, the tribes of Judah, are throughout the whole entire earth.
That's right.
And from verse 1 to 10, it's clearly saying that the one that's going to gather them in the last days is the Messiah.
That's right. That's right.
So any gathering that we've seen thus far don't have nothing to do with this scripture right here. Because it's clear that the Messiah, the Mashiach, is going to gather them. And then we got another witness with the Messiah himself. I'm going to turn to Matthew 24. Let me see. One second. Pull this up. Matthew 24, he's speaking about his coming. And he is verifying or validating what Isaiah just said, and that when he comes, it's him that's going to be doing the gathering. So he says in Matthew 24, I'm going to start at verse 29. He says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign," okay, Isaiah just spoke of the same, of a sign that the Messiah and the whole earth will look to, "sign of the Son of Man in the heavens, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and when they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds and with power and with great glory." Verse 31, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and shall gather together his elect." Aki, who's the elect? of the Most High, Keith.
Israel. Israel.
He shall gather his elect from the four winds, from the four corners of the earth. We just read that in Isaiah. From one end of heaven to the other. So that's confirmation of what we just read from the Old Testament, from Isaiah, right in the New Testament, the Messiah. Just in case you didn't understand, he's clarifying again that I'm the one. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna send my angels, and they are gonna gather the tribes.
That's right. That's right.
You see, and now this is after the tribulation. So we know, according to prophecy again, that during that tribulation period, how it says, our robes are going to be made white through what we're going to have to go through. And then you jump all the way back to where we started with Deuteronomy 30. You talk about us turning to the Almighty with our whole heart. So it's like when these things happen, that's when the Most High is going to step in there and gather his people. When we turn all the way to him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's going to take a lot to bring us to that point. But you know, prophecy will be fulfilled. Hallelujah.
That's right. Hallelujah.
You know, hallelujah. So what you have now, today, we see what the word says, but you have a counterfeit. I feel like a counterfeit is taking place to that, where people are not looking at prophecy. They're actually ignoring prophecy and looking at secular political affairs and trying to fit that into prophecy.
Right,
and now they have this whole paradigm. They have what I call the DNA paradigm, where they totally ignore history. They don't say, all right, well, let's see where the Israelites were to be scattered according to the Bible or according to the Torah. They say, no, we're going to use DNA. And what's crazy is they're basically using their own DNA. So when it boils down to it, they use their own DNA, and they say, okay, the people who have similar DNA to us is who we're going to acknowledge as being Jews. I mean, that's basically what they do.
Right.
You know, and if you look at people going to these DNA companies to get their DNA done, who owns the DNA companies? Most of the DNA companies, the many DNA companies that I'm aware of, the Ashkenazi Jews are the ones that's controlling the whole DNA thing. And they know that when you ask people to validate them being Jews, the first thing they bring up is DNA. That's the first thing they bring up. They don't bring up any history or any prophecy because there isn't any prophecy or any history. You see what I'm saying? So they use DNA, and what's interesting. One of the far as Israelites that carry the traditions of our people, and they go back pretty far, and they had records of this, and they had documentation of this. What people call the Ethiopian Jews or the Falashi Jews, a lot of them have moved to Israel or whatever. So a lot of them live in Israel, but quiet as it's kept. The Ashkenazim try to say that they are converts, and one of the reasons they say this, they look at their DNA, Ethiopian Jews, and it's different from theirs. The majority of them DNA is totally different from the European Jews. So they base it in saying, well, they must be converts because their DNA is not like ours, which is so backwards because they have older traditions than any of the practices that they have.
It was an
article that came out specifically about that, how the Ethiopian Jews have a tradition going all the way back to the Second Temple period. How they practice. Yeah, exactly. How they practice their Torah, but they the ones that's converts. You know.
That's right.
But it's basically a false paradigm that's being established. And what they are doing, they are, like, it's the last days. So you know you're going to have Israel waking up all over the place. You got it's Israelites in Africa that's coming to the knowledge of who they are. You got Israelites here in the West that's coming to the knowledge of who they are. And what they are doing, they are going to these people you had these people say, okay, we are descendants of Israelites, blah, blah, blah. They are going to these people, you know, giving them Torah scrolls, giving them technology.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, you had these people turn into this false Judaism, this false thing.
Right.
And a lot of them prior believed in the Messiah. You know, they might call themselves messianic, but a lot of them slowly are turning away from that. Because in order to be accepted, in order to be, because really a lot of them want to be accepted. This isn't the case for all, but many want to be accepted by the worldwide Jewish community. And in order to be accepted by the worldwide Jewish community, you have to deny the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't know who saw that special that they ran on the Limba. It came on the History Channel. Now when you watch it,
was that the one with the dude with the hat on? He had a hat on.
Exactly. Now when I first saw it, like when it first aired, like I didn't really I was watching it. But the subtleties of it, I didn't really catch until I watched it recently. I would tell everybody, encourage everybody, watch it again. When you watch it again, it's little things in there that's like almost like they were coaching these people. It's certain things that they were saying that's like, okay, you know, off camera it's like, all right, say this, do this, wear this, you know, because come on, you had the Limba is all the way in South Africa. And when they came and when they came up to the community, these people are wearing yarmulkes. You know what I'm saying? Like Ashkenazim wear yarmulkes. And we know and with Israeli flags. And we know that these people, this is not how these people was practicing. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And then absolutely not. And then they throw in the whole, you know, we are from 10 lost tribes. So when I seen that, I said, hold up. Who told them they was from the 10 lost tribes?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So they finding these people is in like the bush almost. He's almost like people in the
That's
bush.
Right. That's right.
With a history of being
world.
Exactly. Like they in the bush saying, you know, we've been practicing this way since forever. We migrated to this part of the world. But here you come up on them. And they teaching or talking the same rhetoric that they pushing about 10 lost tribes and about Judaism. I'm like, since they start using words like Jew and Judaism, I'm like, okay, obviously these people were coached. And that's exactly what it is. Like when you look, they being trained. Like so what they do, they send in rabbis and different ones down to teach them Judaism. You know, and they call that, you know, these people, these so-called lost tribes are returning home, you know, but it's, I mean, I can just see it, man. It's like a massive deception. And people thinking it's cool.
Right.
Now with the Limba, on the DVD, they talk about how they did DNA tests on the Limba. And supposedly, they got Kohanim gene.
They say
that, you know, there's some of them that got Kohen gene. They got Kohen gene. And our people repeat that. But what they fail to realize, if you support the Limba being Jews based off of DNA and they got Kohen gene, that's you at the same time accepting and acknowledging the Ashkenazi Jews are Kohen and Jews in Israel. Because they basically, that's what they're saying is that they have the same DNA that we have, is what they say. So them validating the Limba is only based off of them saying that they got DNA like them. But like I was saying, the whole DNA thing is so false. It could be so easily disproven that for one thing, they don't have no Abraham DNA. They don't have no Jacob DNA.
No.
So what they do, they basing it off of people who are saying that they are Jews, and they're going to say, all right, or let's take the Levites, for example. They don't have Aaron's DNA. So when they are saying that, you know, these people go back to Aaron, they're not basing that off of any reality. They just basing that off of some people who named Cohen or some people who say that they go back to Levi, and they're going to say, okay,
right,
well,
right.
we're going to use your DNA as the standard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's false. But it's false because
right.
they have some of the ancient Israelite graves. I think they even have some of the kings, believe it or not. But you don't never see them coming on TV talking
mm-hmm.
about,
yeah.
you know, we got King so-and-so, and we did a
mm-hmm.
DNA test on him, and this is what it revealed. And they can't do that
right.
because they know if they did that, their whole paradigm would end.
Right.
The whole
right.
DNA thing would end, and it's because it's nothing to substantiate that. And so when you read, it's a lot more than I thought, but the whole aspect of the, you know, the Ashkenazim coming from the Khazars, because really,
mm-hmm.
when you had in the 70s, all of those books beginning to come out, everybody know about 13th Tribe, but it's more than just 13th Tribe. People, that's the most popular one, but it's a whole lot
yeah.
of books talking about those people, you know, descending from the Khazars. Now,
right.
If you look at when this whole DNA thing started to pop up, it was around that time because they knew that, okay, in order to get rid of this Khazar thing, we got to come up with something. You know, we can't.
Right.
Because what you have, look, all of the people that's saying that they is outside of them, there is no conversion story. So they want to say that, for instance, the Ethiopian Jews are converts. Show me any historical documentation of them converting or any story
right.
telling a large mass of Ethiopians converted to Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't no record of that. I can't
right.
find one. But you do find a historical record of people that lived in the Caucasian mountain region called Khazars who converted to Judaism.
Right.
It is a historical document that states that. And it's more than one. You know, so next
mm-hmm.
the next time we come on, most high willing next week, I want to read that. And when I go over that, it's gonna be like,
Amen.
Man, you know what I'm saying? It's like, look, who is these millions? I mean, it's like the European Jews in Russia are there by the millions. Okay, they were that's
mm-hmm.
really like the whole Ashkenazi, the name Ashkenazi really started to come in usage. Later, like anybody that's listening, try to research the oldest mention of the term Ashkenazi Jew. It don't go back that far. They took on that name almost like to create an identity, and they wanted to, they tried to say that the Jews that lived in Germany were who these millions and millions of people come from. But these
right.
people come from Eastern Europe. They
right,
they want
right.
to hold on to Germany because it is some record of, I mean, we know that according to the Book of Acts, we know that it was some Israelites in the Mediterranean Europe area. We know that. I mean, everybody
right,
didn't
right.
just go to Africa. We got to keep it 100. You know, even the Bible tells
that's
that
right.
when it says that, you know, you had Israelites coming from all the nations around. It was naming,
right.
you know, people came from Rome, you know. We know our people live in Spain. Like when they talk about a Sephardic Jew. Next
mm-hmm.
week, when I hit on Cuba, like a lot of people don't even know that a lot of our people who look just like us went from Spain. They didn't even go by way of the transatlantic, like the slave trade per se. They got to Cuba by ship from Spain, and there's records of this. So when people say like they basically, if you look up on Wikipedia or whatever, and just type in, you know, Jewish population of the world or whatever, they're going to say Ashkenazi and Sephardic mostly. They're going to say most of the Jews in the world are either Ashkenazi or Sephardic. So when you're dealing with the Sephardic, it's kind of a touchy thing because, well, really the Sephardic, they want to make the Sephardic kind of like this European Spanish thing, but the Sephardics is really, at this point, they lumped the Moroccan with Morocco was in Africa last time I checked. So all of the North African, the Israelites that were scattered in North Africa, they call Sephardic. You have among in the Igbo, we're going to bring out that they mentioned a lot of the ones that ended up in Nigeria came from Spain and could be considered Sephardic. But if you look at them, mm-hmm. they don't fit. Like it's no real physical characteristic of a so-called Sephardic Jew. It's really just a loose term that dealing with the Israelites that was in Spain or around that area and dispersed
mm-hmm.
after 1492 when Rome again put out the edict that basically they had to convert or get out of Spain.
Right.
So then at that time you had a lot of our people left Spain and fled down into North Africa and even further into Timbuktu. Like all of this is documented. So you had a lot of moving around of our people around that 1400, 1500 area from the slave trade through persecution. Because really the Inquisition that we hear about was mostly dealing with Israelites. So if you heard about the Inquisition and what Catholic mm-hmm. Church was doing to people, it was really the Israelites that were trying to, basically they was trying to, on the surface, act like they were Catholics. But behind closed door, they were keeping Shabbat. You know, they was washing on the Sabbath. So what they would do, they would knock on your door on the Shabbat and see if you had washed or see if you was, you know, in there praying. And that's really what the mm-hmm. Inquisition was about. They was inquiring
mm-hmm.
to see, were they still keeping Torah? Were they really Catholics, so to speak? You know, that's really what it was about. So I'm going to show how a lot of our people fled to Cuba, to Puerto Rico, to the islands, to Jamaica. Before the slave trade, we had a lot of our people in the islands before the slave trade started. So not to get off on a tangent, but so basically, when you look up Sephardic, don't get thrown off by that, because a lot of our people are Sephardic and don't even know it, you know. And I'm gonna show that. So
amen.
So just winding it down, dealing with, you know, where our people went historically, you know, scripture is clear. And when I bring forth, you know, when I want to talk about where our people were, you had records of our people in West Africa who had Torah scrolls, who spoke Hebrew. All of this is documented.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? It's records of it. So we, in order to, a lot of times, to say or validate us being Israelites, we got to show, so we can't use DNA, you know? When they look at our DNA, they say, oh, you just some sub-Saharan African. Y'all don't have no Jewish DNA. Y'all just sub-Saharan African. So, we go into the history, we go into the prophecy
mm-hmm.
to show, you know, who our people are and where Israel went.
Amen.
And it's not just going to be on the surface, you know, and it's not going to be on, you know, no DNA or nothing like that. It's going to be actual, tangible documentation of who our people are and where they went, and the scripture backs that up.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Looking forward to this. And this right here, I want to put this on YouTube, on CDs, and just give it out. Bookstores, just put it out there, you know, because our people need to know, like you said earlier, you know, if we can feel proud about Barack Obama, how much prouder can we feel about who we are as a people? You know, Black history or Hebrew history didn't start just 400 years ago. We go way back. So I'm looking forward to this, and I know everybody else around, because, you know, I got the brothers and sisters around. Everybody looking forward to this right here. We want to put this up. We also want to thank you, Aki, for listening to the Most High Spirit, for putting your heart and your soul into this and walking with it, Aki, because this information is invaluable. It is invaluable to know who we are as a people. From scripture and from historical documents, Aki. We don't need no DNA, because they can't prove DNA. Like you said, they ain't find Abraham bones. And say, okay, all right, Jacob, we got Jacob right here. And we just, if they felt it, they wouldn't take and show us DNA in the first place.
That's right.
Then the world would truly know who we are. They would truly
That's
know
right.
who we are. But I'm definitely That's looking right. forward to this, Aki. Definitely. You want to go ahead and give us some closing remarks?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, in closing, I look at it like, look, it's important to know this because all
mm-hmm.
truth is relevant. All truth is relevant. And prophecy,
mm-hmm.
in order to understand prophecy, knowing who the Israelites are is key to that.
Right.
You know, we focus on the Mashiach and what he did for us. That
yes.
is first and foremost, you know, and you know, we always teach that, Aki. We always teach
yes,
that. I feel like that's one thing I can say about Beth Yah. Beth Yah focus on is Mashiach. You know, we deal with, you know, how, who we are as Israel. That comes up,
mm-hmm.
but that ain't the focus. That's never
right.
the focus in my observation.
That's right.
You know, so you know, and then if any other Israelites may be listening, the focus is the Mashiach, you know, so bringing out the historical points on where our people went is just to give us some truth, some understanding on the historical side and the prophetic side. And then at the same time, what we read in Matthew 24 is he's gathering his elect.
That's
so
right.
He's not just gathering you because you are flesh and blood Israel. He's going to
mm-hmm.
gather his people because they turned to him and they accepted his salvation. You know, both Jew and Gentile alike. You know, and even who we talk to. I'm not one of them people that, you know, that feel like beating up on the Ashkenazi about how they're not really Jews all the time. The issue with them is all it becomes a matter of deception and deceiving
right.
people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's really
right.
the issue.
Right.
You know, I don't have no problem. Look, if an Ashkenazi want to practice Judaism, that's his business. You know, but the
right.
but the point
right.
is salvation is in the Messiah. Whether you Ashkenazi
right.
or whoever you are, you know, practicing, you know, what and last time I checked, you know, if you are a convert, it ain't no crime in that. You know, it's a reason why it's such like let's hide the fact that, you know, we converted. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's more to that. Because I mean, really, like, all right, look, if you converted, so what? Like, you know, it wouldn't
right.
even be all of this drama if you just say, okay, yeah, we converted, blah blah blah. We trying to follow Moses and the Talmud and blah blah blah, but they take it a little
right.
further than that, and the world has
mm-hmm.
received that. And we know that the
right.
world don't got the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth
right.
is not in the world. So if we know Trump is talking about we gotta support Israel, Obama,
mm-hmm.
all of these this wicked government.
Right.
Anytime
right.
they supporting something, we should look at it and say, well, wait a minute, are they supporting this? Because this is like righteous, and this is what the Most
right,
High
right.
said we should do. Come on now.
Right.
Since when do the world, with the world support, have anything in common with the Almighty?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like,
that's right.
and I feel like, ultimately we all going to have to make a choice, and with regards to this, I feel like I really feel like in the end, the biggest threat to the state of Israel and with the whole thing that they got going on is us. It ain't the Palestinians,
right.
really. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's really us, because we stand up there saying, well, we the people of the book. That has more
right.
validity than, you know, a bomb dropping or anything like that. It ain't got nothing to do with none
mm-hmm.
of that over there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like the most high is raising up his people, and there's nothing that anybody can really do about that. You know, it's happening.
Nothing.
And I feel like now is the time to bring it forth, wherever we are, you know. To speak the truth
Amen.
About it.
Amen.
So that's all, you know, that's
Hallelujah.
All I was
saying. Hallelujah. Toda Abiyah. Toda Brother Mataya. I will see you later on today. Yah willing.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes. And we'll be back together next week, same time, family, 8:00. Yep, I'm guessing 8:00. We'll be back next week, same time, 8:00. So, Hebrew culture, the migration of the Hebrews family, a very powerful, powerful teaching and powerful information Yah is going to bring out through our brother Mataya. Abba Yah, bless the listeners. Make them not just take what Brother Matthias said, but allow them to go behind you as we was always taught. So don't just take my word for it. Go behind me, search it out for yourself. First and foremost, pray, Father, for your wisdom, Father. Pray for your discernment, Father. May your spirit rest on Brother Matthias and his family, Father. May your spirit rest on the house of Shafut El, Father, Brother Deuel, and all the rest of the Kohanim, Father, that you have brought forth to your holy mountain, Father. So that's where we stand at, Father. We stand in front of you always, Father, and do thy will. Pray for all Yisrael, Father, your elect foremost, Father, but for all Yisrael, Father, because may all your nation be your elect, Father. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen. Shalom, family.
Amen.